Hello and thank you for listening in to episode 2 of the new Rural Youth Europe podcast, Rural Voices. Now for this episode, it pains me to say that we should be in Slovenia right now, but going to Slovenia to record an episode, it isn't really essential travel. So we're staying safe. Me and my co-host Aris will be living out our Eurovision host fantasy by calling different countries across Europe to hear your stories from isolation. Now, more than ever, we need to keep communicating and staying connected. And that's what we aim to do with this podcast. Right, let's get on with it. Here is what's coming up.
A safe space is somewhere that they are accepted and recognized and treated with respect and that they feel that they belong.
4-H is a social community and we have to maintain social distancing. So then we do it digitally.
We learned at the RIE rally last August how important mental health is. So please do keep connected with your members. It's so important. And we'll hopefully all come out this so much better and even better organisations.
You are listening to Rural Voices, the Rural Youth Europe podcast.
Hey all you cool cats and kittens. I'm Aris, Rural Youth Europe alumnus from Latvia. Over the years, I've done a little bit of everything. I've been a participant in Rural Youth Europe events. I've helped organising some of them. And I even served 2 years on the board of the organisation. But now, I am very excited to join forces with Dan and bring to you the voices of young people from all around Europe in the form of this podcast. In the second episode of Rural Voices, we are focusing on the idea of safe spaces and how these spaces have been affected by the C word. We've got expert opinions on what exactly is a safe space, and we've got youth organizations sharing their experiences and adapting to the new reality. But I'm going to leave it up to Dan to explain what exactly to expect, and I'll talk to you again later on in the episode.
Thank you, Aris. Now, I'm currently outside feeding some lambs here on the farm, and over the last month or so, the most likely place you would have found me was the lambing shed. For many of us, coronavirus hasn't meant we can just stop working. Farming in particular, it never stops. We have to keep on producing food. And for those of us living in rural areas, isolation, it isn't really a new concept because of the isolated nature of where we all live. But for many of us, youth organisations provide us with that connection and make us feel less isolated. They give us that safe space to socialise and express ourselves. But that then poses a huge challenge when we are trying to move that space online. In last month's episode about shrinking civil spaces, I spoke to Sophie from Wales, who spoke about the abuse she received from animal activists online following her post on Twitter, which was about her quiche made entirely from British produce. Now, that's a clear example of how creating a safe space online to express ourselves can sometimes be really tricky. Now, to get a bit of an expert opinion on creating a safe space, I caught up with Meninja from an organisation called Belong To. She does brilliant work creating safe spaces for the LGBT plus community in Ireland. I think there is loads we can take away from what Meninja has to say, not just in how we can greater support the LGBT community in our own organisations, but also more generally, what a safe space actually means and what we can all be doing to create safe spaces online during this pretty strange time. Over to you, Meninja Griffiths, CEO of Belong To.
Belong To is the national LGBT youth organisation in Ireland. And what we do is try and meet the needs of LGBT young people and also make the changes to the systems and the structures that are currently causing harm to LGBT young people and making their lives more difficult. So we do that by providing youth services in Dublin to LGBT young people aged 14 to 23. So we have one-to-one spaces, we have crisis counselling that's run with Pieta House in our office space, currently online instead. And we also run youth groups. At the moment, they're all online as well, but usually the youth groups are face-to-face. We also support a network of over 50 LGBT youth groups around the country. And we do a lot of work in other youth spaces, youth services, schools, working with professionals to upskill them, to train them up, and to work with them on policies and practice and curriculum and programs to make sure that LGBT young people feel safe and supported and welcome in those spaces. What is a safe space? Well, for young LGBT people, a safe space is somewhere that they are accepted and recognized and treated with respect, and that they feel that they belong, and that their sexual orientation or gender identity isn't something that is going to put them at a disadvantage, but at the same time it's not ignored. And what I mean by that is, when you ignore somebody's difference, very often then it means that you're not recognizing that there is a difference, and therefore you're not taking the extra actions that needed to be taken to make sure that somebody feels welcome. So in the case of an LGBT young person, it could be making sure that there are visual cues that the place is LGBT inclusive, by including posters or paintings or literature or resources that reference LGBT lives and experiences, and making sure that in your policies and your website and communications that you include the words LGBT when you're talking about young people, and you mention the different programs and projects that you undertake around LGBT inclusion, participation in Pride, for example, and your partnerships with LGBT organizations like Belong To or whatever your local LGBT group is. Belong To is attempting to create a safe space for the LGBT community and young people in particular on a number of different ways. First of all, by providing a physical space for LGBT young people just to come and be themselves and have some peer support. We also do that on the phone and via text, and currently we're doing that online through our digital youth work, so through Zoom chats. Also then, by promoting safe spaces online around hate speech and hate crime, so making sure that people are aware what that means and the damage that using homophobic language or homophobic behavior can have and the toll it takes on people's lives, making sure that that happens. Then the other thing we do is we work directly with schools and youth services around their policies, their practices, their programs, their curriculums, training for staff, training for young people, getting involved in with parents and other stakeholders, I suppose, in communities, to make sure that we all work together to create safe spaces. And that's done with our online training, which is available free of charge through our website, belongto.org, and also through our Safe and Supportive Schools and Safe and Supportive Services program. You can find out more about all of these on our website, belongto.org. So yeah, due to COVID-19, a lot of youth work is now being carried out online. And what I would say is it's wonderful, and it's great for a great number of young people that has been carried out online. But for some young people, it's not. It still isn't, for all sorts of different reasons. Sometimes it's poverty, access to equipment. Sometimes it's living in rural areas, so there's really bad access to broadband. For a lot of young people living in rural areas, so they can't really have great contact with friends and peers and organisations and support online. And also, a lot of young people don't like to be on Zoom chats, especially young people who are experiencing anxiety or depression. That can increase this for them. So I think for a lot of people virtually, I think it's important to offer these services, but not to think that they replace them. And so when it's safe to do, we will be returning to providing face-to-face, in-person supports, but in line with best practice and making sure that the well-being and protection of staff, volunteers and young people is absolutely paramount. So there's some of the things that you do. You have to make sure that you carry out full risk assessments around security and safety of your staff and volunteers and young people before deciding what platform to use, have ground rules, have you know, all sorts of boundaries set up and make them clear and accessible and understandable for both staff and young people to engage with each other digitally.
Thank you, Meninia. That was a great insight into the work of Belong To. I've done their online training, actually, and it is something I highly recommend you checking out on the belongto.org website. There was also tons of advice for us there to help create safe spaces online for our members. Okay, so let's catch up with some of Rural Youth Europe's member organisations and hear what they have been up to during the lockdown. First up, I got to speak to Rachel Gouldy, who is the current Vice Chairman of NFYFC here in England.
Hi everyone, my name's Rachel Gouldy from Yorkshire in England. I'm part of the National Federation of Young Farmers Clubs and I am currently Vice Chairman of the Council. As an organisation, we feel it's so important to keep up the connections between members through Zoom calls, FaceTime, WhatsApp video calling, Microsoft Teams. There's so many different ways that you can keep connected with your members and friends across your organisations. It's so important for your mental health and just to be checking in with everybody and keep things connected for the sake of yourselves and the organisations. We learned at the RIE rally last August how important mental health is. So please do keep connected with your members. It's so important and we'll hopefully all come out this so much better and even better organisations. We have tried to adapt our YFC programme to the current restrictions with COVID-19. We have had isolation challenges online, Facebook and Instagram, and we were part of the Greatest Online Ag Show on Saturday the 2nd of May, which was great to see so many members getting involved, even though we are in isolation. Members have got a safe space online and within groups and forums to be able to show off their talents and not be criticised for those talents, and just having a go at what they are doing best whilst in isolation. Obviously, we're aware we're so in such uncertain times at the moment, and we don't know what the future holds, whether we're going to be like this for another 6 months or whether we can hopefully get back to our meetings in person come September. But we have got plans to keep our isolation challenges going and continue to have online meetings and keep our members connected and offer them things to do. We have our YFC at home page on our website, and the support is there from our officers and staff to all members, clubs, counties, areas, and we will continue to promote everything good that YFC is doing through isolation challenges and also everything that our members are doing in the community, whether that's shopping for the vulnerable, or other activities that are going on. We've had tractor runs that are going through villages whilst the 8 o'clock national clap for heroes, clap for your NHS is going on a Thursday evening, which has been great to see. We've had clubs and counties raising money by having online dues and so many other things, too many to list on here. But we are just so proud of how our members are dealing with the situation and keeping connected.
Thank you, Rachel. It is so brilliant seeing how much NFYFC have been doing throughout the lockdown so far. At the moment, my social media feed seem to be full with virtual stock judging competitions and virtual rallies. And it's just really cool seeing how young farmers are getting creative and using technology to continue the great work of YFC. It was a great point also made by Rachel in regards to what we learnt during the Rural Youth Europe rally in England last summer, which focused on mental health. During the week, the participants made mental health campaigns to take back to their home organisations. If there's anyone who attended that rally that's listening now and thinking, I never did anything with that campaign, I never launched it, well, now would be the perfect time. Reach out to your members, openly talk about mental health, and as a result, you are creating that safe space where members feel like they are being treated with respect, like Meninia was talking about earlier on. Right, next up, we have Norway calling, and we got to hear what Norway 4-H have been up to during the lockdown.
Hello, my name is Ari Førde. I am 22 years old, and I am from a small village on the western coast of Norway. I am a member of the county board of 4-H in Sogn og Fjordane, and 4-H is an international youth organization with approximately 12,000 members in the age 10 to 25 years from all parts of Norway. Our goal is to develop an active and socially engaged youth with a sense of responsibility and respect for nature and people. During the year, we have county courses and national courses on how to work in a board, and we arrange summer camps, practical courses, social activities for our members. We also travel to national summer camps and Nordic summer camps every 2 years, and we have an exchange program with IFI, RYE and 4-H the Gambia. 4-H Norway is taking the COVID-19 situation seriously, and together with all the other organizations in Norway, we work to help reduce the risk of infection. The National Board decided to cancel all national and county activities until September the 1st, and we advise our local clubs to follow the national restrictions. We are focusing on individual activities that can be shared with one another digitally. And we arranged a national quiz in the Easter and also a bingo activity. And we are arranging what we call a national club evening, where we teach our members something fun that they can do in the quarantine. That happens approximately every other week. We also have arranged some online seminars to educate members of the county boards in Norway. Some of the clubs are arranging meetings for their community, and on May the 4th, it was the National 4-H Day, and during the weekend before May the 4th, we had National Sleeping Outside event, where we told our members to go outside and sleep under the sky. Our main focus with the activities is that even though we're social distancing, we do it together. So we try to recreate like a common feeling with the activities that we do. It's important for us to keep things going during this time, because all the other activities in Norway for youth has stopped, and we want to provide something fun for the youth to do. 4-H is a social community, and we have to maintain social distancing, so then we do it digitally. We know that it's important for the youth in Norway to maintain social meeting points, and we want to contribute to that. When it comes to the future, we really hope that things will start to normalize after the summer vacation, so that we can arrange physical courses to a member. And we're planning to do it, so we hope during September or October that we will be able to have a physical meeting point for the members in Sogn og Fjordane. In the nearer future, in my county, Sogn og Fjordane, we're going to have some smaller digital meetings in the next weeks with local clubs to talk to them what's happening in 4-H in the time forward. And we want to listen to what they are doing. We're also collecting ideas for smaller activities which the clubs can arrange in their communities, and we are planning to arrange some individual competitions and club competitions during the summer vacation. The county board is also exploiting the time we have to spare now in this situation to update guidelines and plans for our activities, and we're planning the national summer camp that is going to be arranged in Sogn og Fjordane in 2022. We take security seriously when it comes to the online solutions for the activities. We make sure that if we have smaller digital meetings, where the point is that the members can contribute, only the members will have access to the meetings. It hasn't been a problem so far, and we hope that it will continue to be a safe platform for our members. But I have to say, it has been difficult to adjust to not be able to meet one another in real life. But it's
funny and learningful to see what digital possibilities we do have. So it's been an interesting time period, but also a funny one.
Thank you, Eirik, for giving us an insight into how 4-H Norway has adapted to the new reality. Now, for the last segment of this episode of Rural Voices, we're turning to another 4-H organization, this time in the Baltics, my home country, Latvia. I jumped on a call with Zane and Patricia from the organization to learn more about how COVID-19 has affected their daily lives and the daily operations of Latvian 4-H. So, here we go. Hi, ladies. Thank you for joining me.
Hi.
Hey there.
To start off, I assume not everyone listening knows what 4-H is and what it stands for. Can we maybe start with a small introduction about the organization?
Yes, of course. So basically, Latvian 4-H is the strongest and the largest youth non-governmental organization in Latvia. And with practical work and non-formal education, we try to grow for Latvian society leaders and young entrepreneurs. We try to implement them in environmentally friendly actions, and also we try to develop Latvian countryside more attractive for young people.
Okay, and how many members do you have right now?
For today we have about 1,500 members all around Latvia and 109 local clubs.
Great! I hope everyone's a little smarter right now. Most countries have been on a lockdown due to the COVID-19 virus for almost 2 months, and I guess we've all been forced to adapt to the situation and change the ways we do things. This is something completely new to us. I assume most young people haven't experienced anything like this before, because I sure know that I haven't. There's definitely a lot of changes taking place. So I'm interested to hear, how has this situation affected your daily lives and how has it affected the daily operations of 4-H?
This quarantine has changed my daily routine a lot, because now I'm working mom from home office with my little daughter. And it's kind of challenging times for me, and I think also for my kid and my family. Yes, a lot of things. I think, okay, all the things are digital now or online. All our office meetings and board meetings are online. Even my dance rehearsals are online. And it's not easy, but I think it's not impossible. And also, yes, I meet my family and my friends mostly on Zoom or Hangout or Skype. And I can't wait to meet them in real life. And if we're talking about Latvian 4-H, then it's the same. We are now becoming more digital. We try to involve our members in our social activities more on a social platform. And all the office works remotely. We have left only 2 foreign volunteers now in office from Spain and Portugal. The other ones are at home already, and we have to involve those 2 volunteers in our daily life. We try to give them some tasks from organization, and also they are working for some final results for their projects. But yes, I think a lot of things we have to change. And maybe it will be after a year, then we will say, okay, now we are more digital and more, more attractive for youth in general.
So, Patricia, how has your daily life changed during these troubling times?
Yep. So right now, all the studying is just online, and everything, you just sit at home and do everything by the Zoom or Microsoft Teams, or you just find all the ways you need. But I think studying is pretty weird, and some of the teachers can't explain how to do it and what to do it exactly, and then can't answer to all the questions, but we still somehow find the way. And yeah, I mean, it's just... with all this COVID-19, I think people need to implement and be flexible to everything what happens. So everything is online, so you just be flexible and just live with it. And I like it. It's not that bad. Yeah, and at 4-H, we needed to cancel sport games because of all this. And I came up with the idea how to implement the sport in when you are at home.
So what exactly did you do?
Basically, the idea was that when you're at home, you can do a lot of sport activities. But it's not just sport activities, because that wouldn't be interesting. I came up with the idea that you could clean at the same time. So you can do squats and do the dishes, or you can do plank and clean the shelf, or just improvise. And every day I put the video in Facebook and Instagram accounts from 4-H. So I gave the example for the 4-H'ers and for the volunteers, and everyone could join. So they filmed it. They tagged three more people, so they could do the challenge as well. And it just went on and on. So everyone joined the challenge.
An online challenge seems to be a good way to stay engaged with your members, right? So youth organizations sometimes serve as safe spaces for like-minded people to get together and express themselves without any discrimination. Now, the COVID situation has kind of taken this space away from them. So why do you think it is important to stay engaged with your members right now? And how can we recreate this safe space feeling in an online environment?
During this interesting situation with this quarantine and all the things, we have canceled all the events that was planned this spring and also in summer. And I think that it's really important to let your members to feel that you as an organization, we are thinking about them, and we try to involve them in activities and make some safe space for them, but in digital way. And they can see that we all are working and living remotely, but we can still be united and we can still make big things happen. So most of our projects now are on hold, but there are a few projects, young innovators and some research projects, and that are still going. And I think we still can make those digital things, but still can make organization become stronger.
I mean, it is great to hear that the life does not stop for organizations like Latvian 4-H during these times. And I think you already have some pretty good plans in place for the near future. Now, before we finish, I want to ask both of you, do you maybe have any tips for other people staying at home right now, probably bored out of their minds, on how to stay sane and keep things interesting?
I was thinking about this question before this meeting, and I would suggest to use Skype, Zoom, or Hangout, or whatever these applications, to see your family and friends that you cannot see in real life now, because we are like all living all around Latvia, all around the world. And I think that's the opportunity to stay united. And we have to remember that this situation will end one day and the world will be open. So we have to keep this in mind. And I think it will be easier to live this too. And then we will say that was a hard time, but it will be better now. Something like that.
Any golden tips from you, Patricia?
Yeah, the thing that helped me through all this quarantine time is habit chair.
What exactly is that?
It's a really amazing thing. You know, you have okay. We all have habits, right? So
yes.
As the app's name is Habit Chair, so we share these habits we have. For example, we have reading, we have, we do sport, we run, we dance, we sing. Whatever habit we have, we share it with our friends. So we can keep them accountable that they're going to do it, and they can see that I am doing it or I'm not doing it. So you feel bad if you're not doing it, because you know that they all see.
We are pretty much at the finish line of this conversation, but is there anything else you want to say before we leave?
Yes, thank you, Aris, for this invitation. It was a cool talk about the forage, about the life in general. Yes, thank you, and have a nice day to all of you.
Yeah, totally agree. Thank you, Aris, for the invitation and for everything here. It was amazing. I loved it.
Thank you once more for joining me and telling us how the life has been for you and Latvian 4-H over the past few weeks and your plans for the future. Today I was joined by Zane Steinberger and Patricia Prindule from Latvian 4-H. Check out Latvian 4-H social media and maybe get some inspiration for online activities. And more importantly, stay safe and healthy. Bye, ladies.
See you.
Bye.
Thank you, Aris and Latvian 4-H, for giving us an insight into what they have been up to during isolation. I think the common theme coming out of this episode, and certainly from what NFYFC, Norway 4-H and Latvian 4-H have been up to during the lockdown, is good communication. Keeping members engaged and allowing them to have a space online to communicate with each other, and creating that safe space which Meninia was talking about, one that is free of judgment and where members feel comfortable to express themselves. Now, talking of communication, make sure you are following all the Rural Youth Europe social media accounts on Facebook and Instagram so that you feel connected to everything that we are up to. Make sure you follow and subscribe the podcast so you don't miss any of our future episodes from isolation. Keep safe, and we'll be back soon with more chats with young people from across Europe.
You are listening to Rural Voices, the Rural Youth Europe podcast.